Well, guys, welcome to Three Point Bible Church. I have we're in a series called Changing Our Mind, Changing Our Perspective. And today we were going to be in Philippians chapter 2, but I've thrown all that out. I told Denise not to even put it up there. So I just want to share with you from the scripture and from my heart today. As you know, I was a school teacher for 30 years in the Clayton County school system. And by all accounts, Clayton County is a... A Title I district? It's a Title I district, which means kind of low income, that kind of thing. I grew up in Clayton County. I grew up in Forest Park. Y'all have heard my story and stuff before. In fact, Forest Park was divided. The railroad track divided Forest Park. The people that lived on the Babb side of Forest Park, they were the rich people. And not everybody was rich, but that was the good side of the tracks. I grew up on the Catherine Street side of the railroad track, which we were the hood back in the days. I mean, we had our own gangs before we even knew there were gangs. In other words, let's say our neighborhood had like six guys my age, right? On one day, me and two of these friends, we'd beat up on these three friends of ours. I mean, mad. We'd be slugging and everything else, go home bloody noses and bruises and stuff. And the next day, you would be on this side with it. And, you know, so we had our own gangs. And, but you didn't mess with our hood. You didn't mess with Forest Park. There was a sense of pride, I think. As I taught and I watched kind of Clayton County change as our students began to change a little bit. And I'm not talking about a racial demographic. I'm talking about the hearts and the minds of our kids. In other words, at Forest Park, we would do whatever it took to make Jonesboro miserable. Every time. We'd go down to Gay, Georgia, and we'd steal the Gay City Limit sign, and we'd put it in right in the front of their school. So when you drove in, it says Gay City Limits. And we thought that was funny. They had a cannon. They had a cannon outside of their flagpole. We stole that and sunk it in Lake Jotico or Lake Spivey. They, Jonesboro, snuck into the gym at Forest Park, and we had a big black panther up on thing. They stole that panther. We finally found it as I was teaching at Jonesboro High School. I was talking about, yeah, man, we used to have the school spirit, you know. You could, you know, we loved Forest Park. You know, you'd make fun of your own school, but not like they do today. Now there's no school spirit or anything. And I was telling the kids that, and I said, you know, there was a time where people would come to Forest Park and they stole our thing. And I saw this one girl just kind of, yeah, uh-huh. Come to find out her father had it in his basement for so long. Well, he returned it. Now it's in a big acrylic case, I guess. But what happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. We lost Jesus. You see people on Facebook, and I want to tell you this. I want you to keep tuning into Facebook for our water cooler chat, but I am telling you, I'm getting off of Facebook. 4 years ago, when we went through the presidential election, I watched people in our church, I watched people that I was friends with outside of the church, I watched my students divide up on the line between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and it literally caused people that were friends to split from each other. I'm going to defriend you. I don't care what you say. And the same kind of garbage is being spewed today, not just because Donald Trump and not just because of Joe Biden, but because some people felt that they are not being heard. And so they held protests and they cried out and they prayed and they shared stories. And then some other people came around behind them and started to destroy stuff. And if you look at the pictures of the people that are looting and burning and tearing down cities and tearing down everything that they can, they're not the people that were protesting. It is a whole different group of young people. Young people that were wearing masks long before we had to put the mask on for COVID. Oh, they give them clever names. Say, we're the social warriors and we're coming into the suburbs next. They give them other names. We're Antifa. We're coming to do this. You know what happened? They don't fear God. They don't fear God. And when we lost our fear of God, we lost everything. And now we put up these cute little memes going like, well, when you took God out of schools, you this is when all the problems. No. No, when you took God out of your homes. You don't need God in your schools. You need God in your homes. You need God in your heart. If I sound passionate, it's because I am. I can't help wondering when I turn on the TV and I see this violence and I see these protests and I see people's hearts breaking, where is Christ in any of this? And you know whose fault that is? It's the church. Instead of saying, what can I do? How can I stand up? How can I make a difference? How can I pray for you? How can I serve you? We sit back and we huddle together and say, oh. How different was the attitude of Christ? In 1 Peter, it says this, when he was reviled, this is Christ, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. How different the Apostle Paul who says, therefore, put away all falsehood. This is Ephesians 4. It says this, therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. We used to sing the song, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. It's not even red and yellow, black and white anymore. From one man came many nations. You know what the scripture says? From one man came many nations. We are not white or black or red or yellow. We are one nation. One priesthood of believers. From one God. We're family, all of us. It's not the color of your sin. I saw it's not the color of your skin. It's the deep, dark sin that's causing the divide. He says this. He goes on. Be angry, but do not sin. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're giving any opportunity we can. Satan is sitting there laughing. As we as the United States say, oh, we're one nation under God. No, we're not. We rise above and we think we're better. When people come up to me, the pastor of the church, and say, hey, I'm not a racist, but as soon as I hear that but, I've already cut you off. We've talked about that in a sermon before. You got to get rid of your big but, okay? Don't but anything. I would say the majority of my students, I think the first year I taught at Jonesboro, I was probably, my course was probably 80% white. The next year, it was about 50-50 white and black. By the end I got through teaching, it was about two white people, about 70 or 80 black folks, and then I had a bunch of Asians and Hispanic. Our church is a multiracial, multi-generational church, and I love that about our church. Because I think this is how heaven's going to look. Don't give opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Listen to this. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion that it may give grace to those who hear. Oh, those people are your brothers, those people are your sisters, those people are the same people that Jesus Christ died for. They just don't know it yet. And it's our job as a church to get that message out. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. His heart is probably broken now. As his people, we try to push him down and say, okay, Holy Spirit, you hold back because right now I'm angry and I'm going to say some things. But I'm not going to get involved because I'm just going to say it on Facebook. Let all bitterness, listen to this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. When trials come, We're told to endure them patiently, to steadfastly maintain the habit of prayer. Jesus says, if someone strikes you on one side, turn and give them the other. And as for those who try to make your life a misery, bless them. Pray for them. Nothing takes anger out of a sail faster. If someone comes up to you and says, and you say, you're exactly right. And what happens? Oh, I'm right? Yes, you're right. And so can I just pray with you right now? And watch how the timbre changes. Paul says, don't curse, but bless. Live in harmony with one another. Don't pay back evil with evil. As far as your responsibility goes, Paul says to live at peace with one another. It's not always easy. I mean, I got neighbors that it's like, why are you cutting the grass at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning? I want to wring your neck, you know? But then other times, if we hold that holy mirror up, guess what? I'm that obnoxious neighbor. My son turns 20 tomorrow, right? And so my grandkids came last night, and they're spending the night with Papa, and I was sharing with Margie, you know, I loved going to my grandmother and grandfather's house, you know, because I didn't get to see them all the time, just like my grandkids. And I was telling Margie as we were kind of sitting and rocking on the front porch, you know, we've reached that age. And we're rocking on the front porch. And I said, you know, I used to love going to my grandmother and grandfather's house. But when I got there, after that initial hug and, hey, I'm here, it's like, okay, now what do we do? Because these are old people. And I think that's what my kids are doing. And Margie goes, oh, trust me, you know, you get on the trampoline with them, you do all these other things. I was like, yeah, I can't walk the next day, but I still try. So what I did, because it's Philip's birthday, that's who I blamed it on, because Margie's rolling her eyes at me, I went and bought some fireworks. So we're going to set them off for Philip's birthday. Actually, I wanted to put them on his cake, but Margie kind of said no on that. So I said, man, I'm going to shoot off some fireworks. So last night when the boys got there, I said, come here, I got something to show you. I had these little things, and, man, they were sparkling up good. We shot a couple big things that exploded up in the air, and they think Papa's cool. But as soon as the fireworks were over, it's like, can I have your phone? Can I play Minecraft? Papa, will you come turn on the Xbox for us? Because we're old. We're old. What are we going to do? You know, we have to love people. We have to be different. We have to be kind to one another. We have to be at peace with one another. Paul says this, he goes on, and he says, don't allow yourself to be overpowered by evil. Take the offensive, overpower evil with good. Paul says, capture all those thoughts. And that's what Margie was trying to get me to do. Paul, just why are you worrying about that kind of stuff? I mean, I sat here on the water cooler yesterday making everybody miserable because I'm torn. I'm torn. Never take vengeance into your own hand. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And understand me. Social injustices need to be righted. They need to be righted, but that is not the problem. That's not the problem. The answer is nothing is going to change on our laws, on our books. We can make all the laws we want saying you have to do this, 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 and this, and we'll all get along. No, we won't. It has to change in the heart. And the only thing that can change your heart is not some moral law on a book somewhere. It is Jesus Christ in your heart. But the world, our society, has rejected him. We got him out of the schools. That's okay. Put him in your home. Oh, he can't come into the business. You can't do that. That's okay. You know what? I'm going to pray for you anyway. What do we do? No, we get mad. Well, they just took it out of school. They took 10 commandments off the thing. We get mad and we start doing it. Stop it. Stop it. We are breaking the heart of God himself. We should all be on our knees. We should call a fast and say, everybody, stop and fast and pray, and God will hear us and God will move. Christ can save the world only when he's living in the hearts of true believers, men and women. We talk about the establishment of moral and tolerant order of society through legislation or kind of social engineering or even by violence, as though we can bring it about. What has this violence done? People, you know, some of the young kids that they're wearing the mask or stuff and they're burning stuff and they're tearing up stuff and they're breaking stuff and they're saying, we're going to keep doing this till you hear us. We hear you. What are you saying? You're not saying anything. The people that were upset about George Reed, they met and they prayed and they shared stories and they hugged and they cried and they lit candles. And the young people use this as an opportunity, and I'm not saying all you young people, Destiny, I see you like, he ain't talking to me. I know. But these people, they don't know Jesus Christ. That is the problem, and that's what Jesus would say. We're not going to legislate any kind of social engineering. If the human race would finally just stop and turn to Jesus, we would immediately have the possibility of this new social order. Oh, we would still have problems because you look at the church. Look at the different denominations we have and you look at how they fight within themselves. And then people that I've followed for years and I've looked at their ministries and I'm like, yeah, you know. I'm watching them kind of speak from, it's almost like a point of superiority. Well, you know, we need to do this, we need to do this. And it's like, what are you talking about? We should not be marching for abortion. We should not, you know, we should get back to the Bible, the Word of God. Open up the book. What does Jesus say? What does God say when you open up His Word? Oh, you know, they're just people. Whatever they do in their own house is okay. Yeah, what if they're in there beating the crap out of a little kid? What if they're burning a kid with an iron? Oh, what's behind their doors is okay. No, it's not. We should be praying. Problems would remain, but the atmosphere for the solution would be completely changed. If we really want to love our neighbor, we have to know our neighbor. We have to live in their sorrows. We have to know their trials, their temptations. We can't, and one of my students said this, she's beautiful. My students, man, some of them, I forgot I taught so long ago now. But minority students were the students I taught. And there's this one girl who's a model out in California. And I think Joe's friends with her too. But sometimes she puts risque pictures, kind of. You know, she's like showing her butt in the mirror or something like that. And I have to say, like, Sydney, I love you, but. And she's like, oh, Mr. Cook, ha, ha, ha. You know, it's like, no. I mean, she's like my kid. She's like my child. I want to know her. I want to know her struggle. Starla Lewis, another good friend of mine, she's 30 now, got two kids. They're beautiful. She looks like a model. I even said something the other day. I said, you look exactly like you looked in high school. She's like, thank you, Mr. Cook. Oh. And then she posts something. Well, when white people finally stop white-splaining things, blah, 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 and I text back, I said, Starling, you know you're talking about me. She goes, ha-ha, not you, Mr. Cook. Yeah, you lump all white people together. Or we lump all black people together. All Hispanics that we see, you all jump the border. Are you even legal? Those are the things that come to our mind, and that is a sin sickness in our soul. Until Jesus Christ gets in there. Jesus was the instrument of social change. He wept with those who wept. He mourned with those who mourned. He rejoiced with those who rejoiced. He talked about Samaritans, the half-breeds, the Jews that had intermarried with other religions and other faiths and stuff, and the Jews would have nothing to do with them. And he said, you know, he did stories where they were the best, but they cared. He went to a woman at the well, and he told her, said, where's your husband? Oh, I don't have a husband. He goes, you're right, you had five of them. And the guy you're living with now ain't even your husband. How do you know so much about me? Because he's God. And he didn't condemn her. He loved her and healed her, and she became a witness of the good news for what Jesus was trying to say. The basic problem pointed out by Jesus, he says, from within and out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within a man, and they defile the man. can't we all let's all grab hands and we'll all just get along. No, we won't. Because the human heart is wicked above all things unless Jesus Christ has changed your heart. I don't want to just keep beating you up. You came probably for just a nice little sermon to sit there and say, like, that's nice, and now we're going to go home and eat. But I don't feel that way today. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I can't sleep. My heart's broken. You know, when Paul wrote his things, he was in the heart of a pagan, secular, immoral, and violent Corinth. And he said, we preach Christ crucified to the Jew, which is a stumbling block to the Greeks. It's a stumbling block to the Jews. It's a foolishness to the Greeks. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He says that there is no longer any male or female. There is no black or white or red or yellow. From one man came many nations. We are all the seed of Adam. And because of that, we are all sinners until Jesus Christ begins to do a transformation in our heart. And when Jesus Christ comes into our heart, we need to get down and we need to give him lordship and we need to get the heck out of the way and let the Holy Spirit begin to rule in our lives, and he will give you opportunities to speak truth and to speak life. That's what Jesus says. The words that I give to you are life. And the gospel of Christ has to be the central issue. We are all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. But God had a plan and he sent his son, the scripture says, to come and die for us. Even while we were turning our back on God, even though these young people on the TV are acting cocky and burning and stealing and doing all this crazy stuff, Christ died for them. And so for us to stand back and say, oh, man, you come to my house, I'm going to pull out my gun and I'm going to blast your head. That is not how we respond as the church. What are we witnessing today? Many of the church denominations and organizations, they're making resolutions, pronouncements. Every time they have a lobby or a get-together, they're always trying to address some kind of social ill. And they try to adjust it and put it out there like everybody is a Christ follower, and they're not. We watched the Presbyterian Church split several years ago over, first off, women. There was a man who didn't feel like he was a man anymore, became a woman, wanted still to uphold their ordination. And it caused some problems because when he became a she was changing in the bathroom with other she's that were born she's, and they felt violated. Why are we even debating that in the church? We should be talking about Jesus Christ, and we're talking about, well, is it okay? I mean, he's not really causing, or she, not really causing problems. Maybe just go in first and just announce that you're coming in or whatever. We should be talking about Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ gets in there, things start to fall into place. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, we leave that out. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you. That's what prosperity teaches. No, that's not what the Bible says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then these things will be added to you. If Christ isn't in their life, then none of this, the rest of it matters. We're still going to be bitter and hateful and angry. We've been trying to solve every ill of society as though society was made up of truly Christ followers. Abortion. The Bible says God knew us before we were even knitted in the mother's womb. That ought to be a statement right there that life matters to God. I saw in the news just the other day a man stole like hundreds of turtle eggs that were getting ready to hatch. Each turtle egg you steal or mess with, you can be fined and jailed. You can be fined up to $1,500 per egg and you can be put in jail. But you can kill a baby. What is wrong with the picture? And the church will sit there and say, like, well, you know, we just want everybody to be comfortable. No, we don't. We want everybody to have Jesus in their heart. And Jesus does not make things comfortable. Jesus came and he says, I will split a mother and her daughter and a father and his son, and I will split families. Because some are going to follow me, and if you follow me, it is going to be hard, hard, hard. If we could begin to get at the root of the problem, which is the disease of the human nature called sin. When the center of sin is dealt with, then and only then will we live with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Then the mask of discrimination falls away. Then the mask of anger falls away. Then the mask of not understanding goes away, because we want what's best for our brother and sister in Christ. We in the church today we've become like blundering physicians. And I say that because what we want to try to do is, when there's a problem, and this is a guy thing, I know, a guy trait, is Margie will come in after a day and she will say, oh man, I've had a hard day, this, 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 and this. And I've already started moving, trying to fix this, this, and this in her life. I do the same thing for Sandra. And Sandra threw, we have these little squishy balls that say, Jesus is my rock. And she threw it at me. She goes, I don't need you to fix anything, Paul. I just need you to sit there and listen. But guys see it as a problem. Well, see, the church does the same thing. And what we do is we're ending up just putting a little lidocaine and a little Band-Aid on the thing, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to continue to fester. The sores are going to continue to peel back. The wounds are going to continue to be open until Jesus Christ can get in there, our great physician, diagnose the case, which is sin, and then that's when things change. You want a cause to fight for? 3 point, fight the cause of sin. Let's start praying for families. Let's pray for our nation, and not just say that we do. Let's get down on our knees and let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for people that are hurting. Let's pray for people that are disenfranchised or are not loved. Let's pray for our leaders. Jeremiah was correct when he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. When Christ and him crucified becomes our point, then we begin to speak from a place of truth. Christ died for our sins. We look to our government and say, hey, could you take care of this? Can you do this? But the Bible says man does not live by bread alone. Oh, you can get your check, but how long did that check last? Not long. And now everybody's waiting on the second one. I talk to people, say, you know what, I make more money on unemployment than I make out there working. Man, what is wrong with us? We're counting on wealth and we're counting on this. You find out what? Wealth, money is not worth hardly anything anymore. You know? Well, I'm just going to put all my faith in my family then. That doesn't work either. What happens when your kids come up to you and say, you know what, I don't love you anymore. I want out of here. I can't wait to leave this house. You ever been told that as a parent? Stings. It hurts. Of course, I also, you do that and they come back real quick, don't they? It's just like a boomerang. We have to be people of God. We have to be people that live and walk and what we talk. Our witness have to match our words. The fruit in our life that we bear has to be what Christ tells us is important, because people matter to God. Everybody, even that young kid is setting the AutoZone on fire. Christ died for him. And what are you going to do when you see him face to face? You're going to get mad? You're going to try to wrestle him to the ground? You're going to try to slap him around? You're going to pull your gun out on him? No. He is your brother. He just doesn't know it yet. And it's our job as a church to get that message out there. And that's all I have to say on all of this. And I just appreciate you because this is what Jesus was telling me all night last night. So let's go to God in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for who you are. But Father, we are a weary nation. Our nation is divided politically, socioeconomically, in many different ways, Father. We even make up ways that we're divided. And then we give kind of cool terms to it, Father, so we don't feel so disenfranchised anymore. But Father, we are sick with sin as a nation. And so, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move and just pour down on us like rain, that you would cover us, that you would fill us, that we would be the people set apart to be who you've called us to be, to preach your good news to a world that desperately needs to hear us. And Father, you would give us the opportunity to do that. Father, you've given us all gifts and talents and the machine to do these things. Father, you sent a wake-up call to the church with the coronavirus, and we couldn't do church as we used to do church anymore. We had to wake the church up and say, okay, how are we going to spread the gospel now? And now you've given us another challenge. How are we going to spread the gospel to a world that doesn't want anything to do with you, that actually despises you and hates you? Father, how are we going to go out into this world and to teach and to preach and to baptize and to make disciples? Father, I pray that you would raise up men and women among us that have wisdom, that have truth, that have power, that have passion, that will go into these places and speak the truth. And as always, Father, we give you the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.